Oh, hello. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Golfers Doing Things, the podcast. I am recording this intro right now from the road. I'm in an RV. We're currently traveling through Missouri. I have no idea what people do here besides not wear face masks. But yeah, we're on our way to Chicago. We're going to play some golf there with actually the dude who runs the account Golf Balling. If you don't follow his account, he's super funny. You should definitely do it. And then we're on our way to the East Coast and then eventually the U.S. Open. But as of right now, this podcast is with Brilliantly Dumb, a.k.a. Robbie Berger. Also on the podcast is a comedian from Los Angeles, Griff Pippin. We had so much fun. This podcast was my favorite so far. We talked about some pretty wild things. All those words being said, I hope you enjoy the podcast, enjoy your lives as a whole, and stop wearing small brim visors.
Some of those irons, man, over there, and Jake knows about this too. I didn't know my golf coach plays with these, even in Japan, these Miuras. They're like $4,500 for a set of irons.
Yeah, it's like the most expensive besides the
is that
what's the one with the dots? The
PXG.
Yeah.
So the Miura is the most. So they're made by the same people, the same company that made samurai swords. So the steel is supposed to be incredible.
But
it's real. He was telling me about it.
I got friends out there that
it sounds racist, but it's not.
They buy $1,500 irons, and they're in like the mid-90s. You know, it's like you almost want to wait till you get really better. And you, yeah. I've been using these shitty clubs for a while now until I start breaking, you know, 85. Then I'll get myself a
Yeah, it's similar to what we were just talking about, where you're like, why don't you try to like somehow get a blue check mark next to your name?
Yeah.
It's because I don't have 10K followers.
There we go. That's a very good analogy.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, man, like, why are you, like, you're up to something? Or it's just like how you, like, you have an in somewhere, or you're
yeah.
like a country, like a rich, or like your family money. Like, how'd you get that blue check mark, man?
Tell you, it's a phenomenal analogy. It really is, because it's very true.
Well, let me set the stage a little bit here. We're currently in Los Angeles. I feel like this is a 90210 zip code. I don't know. Bobby could just be right on the edge here, but
yeah, right on the edge. I'm about a block away from being Beverly Hills, which would be nice, but I mean, it is what it is. I'll take West.
Okay,
Hollywood.
So you got that adjacent?
Yeah.
Bev Hills adjacent?
Yeah. Which things would probably be a little more jacked up price-wise, tax-wise.
No,
somehow.
You tell people you live in Beverly Hills. It's like saying live in Manhattan when you live in New Jersey. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I do. Area code's West Hollywood. You ask me, it's Beverly
Hills.
You're
just driving home. You just say, hey, you drive through Beverly Hills, and you're like, close your eyes. I have a surprise for you.
Yeah.
Like a minute later, you're at your home.
We're in Beverly Hills.
So, yeah, we're sitting here actually on the street right now. We're in this van that I'm going to be living in for the next month following the PGA Tour, trying to break in.
You're fucking wild.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I love it, though.
It's wild. Yeah, I do, too. This is wild.
But I'm here with Robbie Berger, a.k.a. Brilliantly Dumb. You know him if you follow Golfers Doing Things. He's on the page all the time, and hopefully you follow him as well. Really, really funny dude. And also Griff the Riff Pippin.
Griff the Riff.
Yeah.
I like that.
Some Riff Griffs in here in the van.
Young Riff God. Griff, old friends. We used to do stand-up comedy together. You live in Los Angeles. Irishman?
Yeah, that's part of the pie chart.
And a bit of a golfer. You were telling me today, Griff, while we were on the phone, that you've been going to the range every day because you took a lot of lessons, and you just the tone of your voice made me feel like you're a bit in your head about it.
Well yeah, because I'm a golfer. This guy gave me a 2.5-hour lesson. One of the best coaches out here. So it was intense. It's not just some scratching the surface. Now, I want to get you moving your hips. No, it was like, okay, 40 swing thoughts. And I've been like overwhelmed. Anyway, you have to go to the range like every day for a while until you get that muscle memory down. So that's what I'm doing. And it's intense. It's fucking intense, man. You know, and I'm having to really just work on getting that down because I'm like, I don't want to miss a day and forget what he taught me. So this guy's giving me intense lessons. And I'm just like,
2.5 hours, you might as well just fucking play 18.
Seriously.
Out of 36 and, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, at least you're doing it at the range, man, because no one wants to be a part of that on the course. So I really do commend you figuring it out on the range.
I did it on the course the other day. I went out the course the next day afterwards.
Ooh.
And I remember on one hole, three drives OB into the parking lot. Three drives. And this is a tall fence I cleared, too. So, it was a disaster.
Yeah,
we ought to play golf someday. We'd be good together.
Some of the worst swings imaginable happen after a lesson.
Brutal. You. It's one step back, two forward. I forgot how to play golf the next day. I mean, it was bad. It was brutal. Like, there's like 40, 50 handicaps with me. They're like, we should play more often. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, they think we're like at the same level now, and I'm like, fuck.
So what's the goal there? Because, I mean, I'd really just like to break down your mental process of the swing change and really get into the specifics, because I feel like we could find a couple gems there. So what is your handicap going into it?
It's a 5.
Okay.
Oh,
I've been
shit.
Playing
why'd
good.
Just,
been playing
wow,
good.
That
also,
changes everything.
Why'd you say it like
that? Yeah, you're a 5?
Why'd you go, it's a 5? Like,
I'm just very competitive. I always want to get better at golf. To me, golf's fun, but I'm always just trying to improve. Like, to me, that's the game of golf to me.
Okay. If I was a 5, I'd be having a fucking blast.
I know. A lot of people would be like, I'd be more than happy. But to me, it's always about improving.
Hell yeah. Fuck.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so a 5 can go up to a 12 real quick with that swing change.
Oh, it was a 40 that day.
So what are we working on? I mean, not to like, I don't want to like, you know, ruin your day by thinking about this too much, but I think the listeners are a bit curious of like, at a 5, what is the goal there? I mean,
the goal is to become a scratch. And I knew there were things wrong with my swing because I'm inconsistent, right? I can be great drive, fairway, out of fucking nowhere. This just monster creeps out of my asshole, and it's 3 fairways over. I'm like, Jesus. It's okay to have a slice or miss a fairway, but I don't know where these just monsters will. I'm like, okay.
So that's in the game already.
We got to fix that, dude. Those misses are bad. So basically I went to him, and he's like, yeah, you're all arms. Your right shoulder is controlling the swing, and your hips are stopping. You're not using your lower body. Mm-hmm. You're not using the lower body at all. I'm like, okay. So if you break it down, like, your average golfer might look at it and say, yeah, your swing looks fine. But he looks at it and just burn it down, pour gasoline on it and burn my swing down to the ground. And I'm like, that's what
down,
I wanted.
Break it down to build you up.
Right. And so basically I'm working on leading my body with my hips. And then that right arm is just barely holding on to the club. 3 fingers barely holding onto the club. He's just there along for the ride, as opposed to him just dominating the swing like some, like, trying to be strong and muscle the ball. That doesn't work. Like, you look at Cameron Champ, he's 6 foot, 170 pounds, not a big dude. 340 all day. All day. And he's just using, look at Rory, all day, just lower body. So that's why I wanted to go to this guy and get a sound swing to take my golf game to the next level. So I understand I sound like an asshole right now. I'm like, yeah, 5's not good enough, so I've got to really learn, you know, how to use my lower body so I can be playing in mini tours. No, I'm not trying to be an asshole. But
no, it's fine. I would still have to give you strokes. But
last time we played, I think I sucked, and I really put work into my game.
No, I mean, I it sounds like a journey, and I really hope you get there. As an outsider, sounds like a fucking disaster.
It is. It is.
Exactly, I've been there before, like, and when you're thinking about 3 fingers on the club, it's just like, man, I don't know. I'm such a feel player that that fucks me up a little bit hearing that kind
of
stuff.
I've got 20 other swing thoughts that I'm working on at the same time. He's like, I want you on the balls of your feet. I want you pushing off the left into that back heel. Then I want you dropping. I want you tucking that butt in. I want you making sure that that club faces out. I want your swing path inwards. I want to make sure that you push off. Your hips are facing forward. I want to make sure that that right arm is relaxed in the back. 3 fingers. All this is going on in my head at the same time.
I'm not going to lie. If an instructor gave me that much info, I'd walk away.
I think a lot of people would.
But you're putting in the time, man.
It's a headache. Like, this, every swing, I have all of that going on. And it's, like, the most, I've never focused this much in my life. Like, never. Not even for my ACTs. Nothing. Nothing. And ever. And I'm just, like, I got to, every day I have to go through this just torment.
Well, what's worse, that or bombing at an open mic? Like, isn't it great that you don't have to do comedy and you can focus on something like this?
Bombing at an open mic. You're like, wow, I'm not even good with with these people.
It's got to be open.
No, but I think the truth is, like, it's harder to do well at an open mic than it is a normal show, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, nobody cares at all.
Nobody cares. People are on their phones. Bombing in front of your family. I bombed in front of my dad, stepmom, in front of 500 people at a show in Vegas.
That's tough. Were they sitting in the front row or what?
No, about middle of the show. Okay. And the car ride home, first thing Dad said was, wow, you said fuck a lot. And then paused, awkward pause. He goes, that one guy at the end was really funny. What was his name? My God, he doesn't even know he's doing it either. I'm like, oh, fuck me.
So, Robbie, aren't you glad? How many swing thoughts you got when you,
about
you step up to
as
it?
As much as you. And, I mean, you're a 5 handicap, and I'm nowhere near there. It's amazing, too. It's like your day goes, or like just the way you go about your week all depends on how your golf swing's going. To me, food tastes better if the golf swing's going good. Food tastes worse if my swing's bad. I'm a mental nutcase.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel you.
Well, that's why you golf.
Yeah, I mean, but you can imagine all the shit you got going on in your head. You're a 5. Okay.
Well, before I wasn't, but now that of the lessons, it's that.
Yeah, I mean, now you got to think, what is a 20 handicap thinking in his head? You know, it's just it's a grind. There's no doubt about it.
I think you've hit something on the head there, though. The who you are as a person after you play good golf, opposed to when you just, you know, had a personal worst.
Or even I think it even magnifies when you're on the course. I mean, if you think about it, I try and really have a good time regardless because we're always filming or some shit like that. But at the same time, too, if you think of like a Tom Brady when he was out there during the match, when he was playing bad and he probably felt like his world was crashing. It's so hard to have fun. You got Barkley chirping in your ear and he's playing that bad to where it's a nightmare scenario.
The most viewed golf match of all time, yeah, more than any U.S. Open or Masters.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's
and it
the
was
biggest.
Great. It was fucking awesome. It was so. Yeah. To hear like Mickelson talking to Peyton Manning about his putts and some of the shit, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's not like Tom Brady is a comedian, so he can't like make a lot of jokes about himself in the moment because right. That's not like his background, you know. So you just have to keep grinding, you know. There's also not like a bench you can go sit on while your other team takes over. It's still just you all the time.
Totally, and he's getting dogged on, you know, national TV. Like you said, it was one of the most topped viewed, you know.
The most, I think.
Yeah, everybody was watching it. I mean, you feel for the guy, and then he holes out, and in true Tom Brady fashion,
he said,
good.
He said, take a suck on that, Chuck.
Yeah. So there you go. How's that one for you?
Yeah, no, that's the beauty of golf. Like, other athletes come and play our sport, right? If you're not a basketball player, you don't go play basketball, really. If you're not a football player, you don't go recreationally play football. They come to our sport. And you play. I saw a video of a guy 102 years old playing the other day. Name another sport you can play when you're 102.
You're right. It's like they come to our sport. We say our sports. We play a lot, but they do.
They come to us.
Yeah.
Networking? You can't fucking do a big business deal on the, you know, ball playing rugby.
And you know what? If you can't get the deal done on the golf course after 18 holes, it was never meant to be.
I couldn't. That's brilliant right there. That should be like the clip, little trailer clip right there.
True.
Just summed business and golf up into one sentence so well.
But I think there is a very specific type of like we're like Republican country club double pop collar type that are like, if you can tackle me to the ground, I'll give you all my money.
You know? Yeah, oh yeah.
Like I'm thinking like Wedding Crashers type vibes, like when they go to that dude's house, you know, and Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper, Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, yeah. That guy's character, like if you could tackle that guy in rugby, like he'd do business with you.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
So Robbie, I just saw recently that you did a podcast with these guys, but then you got to play golf with the cast of Entourage.
Yeah.
Man, that's like growing up, that's like your dream, you know, just to feel like you probably felt like you were in the show.
Dude,
what course did you guys play?
We played Trump National.
Oh, God, yeah.
Palos Verdes area?
Yeah.
Take some big divots or what?
Yeah. Oh, did I chunk that fucking. They're still working on those fucking things. But, yeah, they came on the show. Me and Kevin Connolly became very close. He's got a studio right by here. He's in the podcast game. So he gave me the opportunity to sit down with those guys. They were starting a podcast themselves, and then we just built a relationship from there. But then you get on the course with them, and it's surreal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, what is this my life?
Yeah, it was
golfing
surreal.
With a cast of Entourage? Is this my life?
The funny thing about them, too, is, which is so bizarre, is they're exactly how they are on the show.
Right.
Like, they just gel so well. Like, there's really not that much differences from their characters on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's dream would be to go out and play with these guys, and even more so when you find out, it's like they're busting each other's balls. Like, it's just constant. It's a dream come true. It's nuts.
What are we talking about skill level-wise? I feel like Drama's got the best game.
Yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
He's actually, he's a 5 handicap.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. He's a stud. He can swing it. Connolly's not there yet, but he wants to be. So, like, he just started playing. He's got a country club, I think, that he goes to now. You know, so he's definitely trying to get there for sure.
Yeah. Any gambling out there?
No. To be honest, I don't think we were having so much fucking fun that it didn't even we were letting it rip too. We were drinking, so like yeah. it wasn't even thought. When you're feeling each other out first time, I feel like the gambling doesn't come out. You go back again. That's right. A different ball game. You know, you got a feel for everybody.
Right. It is such a specific personality type to like meet a random on the first tee and be like, all right, what are we playing for?
Totally. So it's like, all right, asshole. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're going to sandbag me the first day I meet you?
If you're playing with this guy.
Anything more than 20 with just a random, like, there's a serious issue there.
And that's the thing, though, too. It like, yeah, it makes it fun and it makes you play better. But at the same time, too, it's like, it gets so intense that it's hard to enjoy the company because it's like, you know, you two are going back and forth. You're pretty much at war. So I feel like it's a round two is when the gambling comes out.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. You can't really say no to somebody as well. If like it's kind of awkward for the next 4 hours if you're like, no, I don't want to play for anything.
Yeah, then you kind of look like a douche for sure.
Well, kind of, yeah. And they'll be like, oh, this guy's a bit soft or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, man. All right. So let's actually take a quick break. And we'll come back and we'll get into a bit of golf news. And I'm going to read through some of your golf tweets that you've.
Yeah, I'm gonna shower outside somewhere.
Yeah, by the way, Griff is standing up in this RV.
Sweating.
Drip a little
I'm
bit.
So fucking out of shape.
Wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, it's a bold play.
A dermatologist recommended, but yeah.
Is there any part of the day where you're not thinking about your swing?
It's constant. It's an obsession. Like you see me check out the grocery store at Ralph's. Like I'm that guy in the Ralph's checkout line. I'm doing this. I'm working on my hips. Oh, yeah. Somebody who's not a golfer is like, dude, what is that guy doing? I'm over here in the Ralph's. I'm like, if you're a golfer, you're like, oh, I get what he's doing. If you're not a golfer, you're like, oh yeah, he needs a therapist. Yeah, that's bad.
Married to the game.
married to the game.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back. So, Griff, you haven't done any stand-up since it went away like 4 months ago. Have you been doing any outdoor shows or anything going on there?
I've done a bunch of Zoom shows, but I really put this out there into the universe. I really want to do a drive-thru show.
Oh, yeah?
You know? And then, of course, Hunter Hill, I believe.
Yeah, he opens for Eliza Schlesinger.
Yeah, he's got this really dope setup. He's got this show called The Super Secret Show. And it's just, you're in this room, and it's, I don't know, some like CNN fucking board, like control room situation. You're on a stage, and there's like all these big screens, 360 around you. And so you can, each screen is a person from the Zoom show.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
Really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really, you check out Hunter Hill. He's a good dude. That's cool. I mean, you're seeing some kind of cool stuff popping up, but I haven't had the chance to do any actual stand-up.
Yeah.
And I miss it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's just been like truly a relief and like so much more time in my life to focus on all the other things I was kind of neglecting.
Yep.
So I've been like really actually enjoying this past 4 months of like, well,
clearly you got the RV going now. He's traveling the fucking
world. He's just throwing the towel. He's like, I'm sick of following the fucking rules. I'm getting an RV and I'm gonna follow the game of golf and see where it takes me.
Yeah, talk about one big fuck it. I'm gonna do my own thing.
This is what you do in your 70. Jake said no. I'm fucking doing it now.
Yeah, he's got a Trader Joe's spices here in the RV kitchen and he's doing it, man.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
But you know what? Credit to you. A lot of people say they're going to do this, and then they don't end up following through on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You followed through on it.
Robbie, you correct me if I'm wrong, but anyone you ever met that like actually has the balls to like do something like this, it always works out for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
How could it not?
I mean, we'll see, man. I mean, a lot of things have fell through already, so.
Yeah, but that's how these things go. You get an RV and go chase the game of golf, some things are going to fall through. And you're not over here doing, like, micro-dosing, like, every 5 minutes and just literally smoking ayahuasca, just being like, you know, here's the thing. Golf is an analogy. Like, you're not that guy, you know?
Yeah, no,
you're just doing it.
You, for being in an RV traveling across the world, that actually seems like you kind of got your shit together.
Yeah, exactly. For a guy in his RV that's trying to, you're doing pretty well. I'm impressed.
I did put on this collared shirt maybe 10 minutes before you guys came over. So
he doesn't have it together.
Never
take
mind.
Back.
We'll take it back.
You're a fucking nut.
Listen, you're doing the Cape Cod crush. That's what you're doing, man.
Dude, I miss the Cape, man. I want to go back. It was no responsibility. I just played golf every day with my friends.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to leave.
And I feel like my life is crumbling.
Yeah.
No, I'd just find a job as an assistant pro and call it a day. Call it a fucking day.
Okay, that is a good book. Just because it makes me think of, like, what is a backup plan? And do you guys have any? Rob, I mean, I know you're in the hotel game for a minute before you started to be like a full-time personality. Yeah. I don't know really how you describe what your profession is.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, did you have like, would you just continue to work at hotels, or did you have a backup plan? If
I mean, I always wanted to be in entertainment, and hotels to me, I think hotels is one of the most underrated professions, because A, to really climb up in it, you actually don't need a degree, but if you play your cards right and you work in a hotel, I was working at the Four Seasons Beverly Hills. The people you run into every single day, the hands that you're shaking coming into Beverly Hills Four Seasons, I knew that that would kind of propel me into some sort of entertainment, that I would meet somebody, you know, being in the industry, and one thing would lead to another. And in a way, that's kind of how it happened, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Sebastian?
Yeah.
I think he worked at a hotel bar.
Yeah.
Our friend Chappelle Lacey, stand-up. He's been blowing up last 2 years. He met Bill Burr as a valet at a hotel in Scottsdale, and just had a great combo, and then ended up opening for him that weekend.
Get the fuck out.
No way.
It's amazing. Maniscalco is a really good point. He was working at that Four Seasons, and he was a server, I think. He tells a story when, like, Jerry Seinfeld comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he was doing it back and forth.
Yep.
Do you like some radish?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You have a sash? This guy was
for,
in the pool.
For
a
guy
sash.
In an RV doing a Sebastian Maniscalco impression.
Can you imagine having him on the podcast?
That's pretty good.
That's all I got, really. You guys, you have any impersonations? You got anything going on there?
I'm gonna kick it back over to you here.
Accents, right? You know, there's too many people doing impersonation. I just like accents of different countries.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I like doing.
You traveled the world doing stand-up, didn't you?
Yep.
Like, you just like stayed in hostels or something.
Yeah,
like
hostels
that.
Or people's houses and stuff like that.
Yeah, you did it early on. We were like maybe 4 years in or something, and I just looked up and you were like in Denmark or.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I'm like, still actually writing a TV show about that, and gonna eventually. So imagine you've seen Anthony Bourdain shows.
Yeah.
Love him. Huge fan. You know, he travels the world. You get to see cultures, get an idea of, you know, the different food and everything. But I've traveled around doing comedy in 22 countries, and I've gotten this idea of, here's the idea of the show is I want to travel around the world, seeing what makes people in Japan laugh, South America, what makes people laugh in England. They're all different since very different sense of humor. But what's the through line? What makes human beings laugh? Like, I want to kind of piece it together and show you little clips of bench, essentially like Bourdain show. Right. Instead of folks around culinary, it's folks around what makes the people in Denmark laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Watching everybody four-putt, probably.
Yeah.
It's pretty universal. But no, yeah, it's so interesting, man. Like, and you, like, have dedicated your career kind of to traveling and all these different places. So.
Yeah, and I want to do that. And I've had a bit of a midlife crisis during this coronavirus. I've just stepped back and realized, like, I think I'm going to pivot a little bit. You know what I mean?
How old do you plan on living? 60?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah, but that's still a thing. I still do want to create that show and travel around. Because a lot of people, stand-up scary as is, but traveling around the world and doing it, you know, in an abandoned communist theater in Romania, that's not what most people want to do with their weekend.
I tell you, the amount people have probably changed their careers during this pandemic. Like, from, like,
give
mentally,
me a percentage number.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I would say that's even thought about it.
Thought.
50, at 50. Least. At least. I mean, yeah. It's just giving you kind of the time to, like, think and.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to be, like, what is actually important in my life? And,
100%.
Like, you know, now that I haven't been in this cubicle for 5 days out of every week.
Yeah.
What else is there, you know?
Totally.
So, yeah. I feel like the people that are. Maybe the most successful or the strongest minded will make that change in the time of crisis, you know?
100%. A lot of people, too, just lost their job, and now they're sitting home trying to figure out what they want to do and whatnot.
Yeah.
Somebody's lost their corporate job they've had for 10 years and worked their way up, hitting the bottle every night going, this is it. This is game over. And then they're realizing, like, wait, this isn't what I want to do anyway. You know what? I'm going to fucking take up my crochet hobby to the next level. Like, this is where I'm going on Etsy, and this is what I've meant to do.
Yeah, and then they're going to be pitching Netflix or something in about a week.
Yep, exactly. The great British knitting show. Yeah. That's going to come out of the coronavirus.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into these tweets, baby.
Woo!
Everybody's favorite segment that nobody's really ever asked for. What have you tweeted about golf? Robbie, you were fresh to the Twitter game. I think you just got in it.
I gotta get going with that. It's Twitter. Twitter's big, and I've just have refused to make the adjustment into it.
Yeah. I'm with TikTok.
And it's like, see, I love TikTok. To me, TikTok is the fucking best.
Yeah. We out there on the talk, you know?
Oh, I've been talking left and right. But yeah, Twitter, like, I gotta get into that.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. So yeah, didn't have a lot of big pull to pull through here, but you did tweet on the 24th of May, 2020, every now and then a golf course sandwich comes around and rocks your world. Be sure to let the guy know who made it. He indeed just did rock your world. Hashtag golf, hashtag sandwich.
That's amazing. You need to be on Twitter more. That's a good tweet.
That was actually at Griffith Park. The guy made it just a rockin' sandwich.
Oh, in that van there? They always have that van out. Yeah, gosh. Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, just made a rockin' sandwich and
just
I went
blew
back
you away.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? Was it the condiments that did it for you or the layers or
what was the sandwich?
It was a basic chicken sandwich. But they did like a perfect helping of fries on the side.
What's a perfect helping of fries? What are we talking about? Like numbers wise?
Well,
give me exact fry numbers.
They were back 9 fries.
No more than how many, no less than how many.
I had it in that cardboard container. So
okay.
I would say put me fries-wise, 30 fries is a good back 9 amount of fries.
Yep.
Look, you still got 9 holes to play.
Yeah, give you the energy.
Right. You don't want to be sitting there eating fries for the next 2 holes. It's something, take it on the go, smash it, and then still be ready to rock and roll for that.
Let me ask you
night.
This. You ever thinking about putting those fries in the sandwich?
Not
Ooh.
At that time.
Open up the top?
I knew it was this kind of podcast.
Yeah. Things just got really interesting.
Things just got really controversial.
Now, not on the golf course. It's just not the time. If you have time to sit down and eat and enjoy it, you can make a play.
At
like
a nice
that.
Restaurant.
There we go. Yeah.
So
yeah, at a nice restaurant that's giving you 30 fries to eat within a chicken sandwich.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And last question, I think, specifically about the fries. we doing 2 or 3 at a time, or are you going 1 fry dip, you know, eat it full?
Oh. This says a lot.
Nailed it 2 to 3 at a time.
2 to 3 at a time.
Yeah,
that's a good number.
It's a
because you're a good person.
Yeah, and it's a quickie. I mean, you want to get back at that. I don't know a lot of people going 1 fry per. That's psycho shit.
Yeah, you're a sociopath.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
the 1 fry.
Like, I don't trust it. You want to go out to golf to learn if you want to do business with people? You're doing 1 fry? No, don't do business with Dan.
Business, I'll tell you that much.
Only people are trying to like get laid or eating 1 fry at a time.
Yeah.
You know?
No, girl sees you, she's like, you're a 1 fry guy? No, no, absolutely not.
Not for me.
Yeah. So that's about 10 to 14
swipes at it?
So, yeah, swipes,
which is exactly, you got to remember, you still got a chicken sandwich that you got to eat, too. So, yeah, you can't put too much time on the fries, and then you got a tee shot right after that.
Right. That's a tough tee shot as well. One of the toughest.
Tough tee shot.
Yep.
You got grease on your hands. Your belly's a bit full. Your equilibrium's a bit off.
You don't really come back to life and back to the game till 11, 12. You know, you got to get the grease off, and you got to kind of digest it a little bit. There's a lot to it.
Especially if you have momentum on the front 9.
Correct. See, then I wouldn't even get the sandwich.
Yeah.
If I'm
you
rolling
wouldn't.
That good, I'm
no.
not grabbing that sandwich.
I'm going to tee off. I'll meet you guys. Just meet me on the 12th hole.
Yeah.
I can't lose this momentum. I just parred the last 3 holes.
Yeah, that's when you get a bar and a water, and you're like, yeah, like you guys are like, oh, you're so healthy. I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. I feel like, you know, I'm really on to a new life.
Doing
here.
A new thing.
Yeah, you want fries? No, I have a Cliff Bar. I'm playing well. I'll have an Orgain protein shake.
Yeah. How about the guy who just packs his lunch for the turn and then just shits the bed on the front? That's a tough sandwich.
Yeah. That's a whole different type of sandwich he's eating right there.
Yeah, the lettuce gets real soggy if you don't break 45 on the front.
That's a humble sandwich for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Griff, you've tweeted a couple times about golf, but we're going to date back here to December 25th, 2014.
I don't remember this. I feel like I'm being doxxed right now.
Well, I mean, that's a big part of Twitter. You know, you got to uncover your past.
Yeah.
So Chris is with my family. You spelled with a W, so that's very cool. That's a very cool way to tweet. Christmas W with my family is like golf. Awful sober, but it's fun when you're drunk. Is everything okay? Would be my question to you.
Is everything okay?
How's life at home?
It's fine now, boy.
Was this before or after your parents saw you do stand-up?
I think this is before.
Okay.
Even worse. Yeah. No, I'm sober now, but yeah. No, that was how it was, man. Just like waspy. I was like, dude, you guys are so waspy. I gotta get smashed to hang out with you guys. You know, and there's nobody drinks in the family, so I'm just black sheep times 10. I'm just like hammered trying to talk about, like, you guys want to talk about string theory? And they're like, no, but did you see Fox News? I'm like, God damn it, I need another drink.
Yeah, see, I think smoking around the family is just, like, so exhilarating, you know, because, like they don't know, but it's just, like, such a game to you personally. And then, like, if you can keep up and still, like, be funny around the family, it's like you really feel like you're winning. You know, it's like one thing to be like the life of the party at Thanksgiving, but like if you're like very high and you're like controlling the room,
yeah,
like like race, that's race car status.
You've reached another dimension there.
That's next level. That's just a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's a guy who breaks par right there.
There we go.
That's a guy who breaks par and is upset about it. Says he left a few shots up there.
There's such a specific level of smoking. Some people are just great at it. 6 a.m., you roll up, you know, you're high on the first hole. And that's my buddies on the Cape. Like, they would shoot, you know, 66, 67, just high the entire time.
How?
That's not my game.
I can't swing a golf club high.
You know what I love, actually, is I'll take a gummy for my rounds.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with playing better. In fact, I probably play a little bit worse. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just by the time that thing hits you, you're having a fucking ball. So I take gummies often if I go out to golf.
Yeah, no, you're playing a great way to play golf. That's how it should be. I wish I could play like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just having a good time for sure. But no, if I'm having a really good round, I'm probably not going to do it. It's kind of like the sandwich. I'm not going to have a sandwich on the back nine if I'm playing good. Probably not going to have a gummy.
Do you guys get superstitious at all?
Man, I'm past all of that. Like, I spent such a portion of my life just, like, thinking about everything and, like standing over the ball for way too long. Until I played, actually, like, somewhat recently this summer with one of my friends I grew up with. And he's like, dude, you're ruining my day. Just hit the ball. And it really changed the course of the way I approach the game.
You're ruining my day.
Yeah, that's
harsh.
Whoa.
Okay, hit the ball, Sergio.
Dude, I'm telling you, it transformed my game. Like, I was shooting under par for the rest of the summer, and just, I would just get up and hit the ball as fast as possible and just relied on, like, what I knew growing up, you know? And work on it on the range, put that time in, but when you get on the course, my swing starts when I start walking to the ball. And then, you know, I just hit it.
You can play your best golf when you don't. I mean, who was it? It was Bobby Jones, who said it's not a Sam Snead said it's not a thinking man's game. The best round I ever played, one under at Banded Dunes. I just went up and hit the fucking ball, and it just went in the fairway. It went on the green. The
one
putts
under at
went
Banded
in.
Dunes is no joke.
No. I don't remember. It was Trails or Pacific. I don't remember which course it was. Literally, I just walked up and hit the fucking ball, and I'm like, well, I can't do that again if my life depended on it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I didn't think about it. That's why I played that well.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like similar to doing stand up or for you, Bobby, maybe like in like some of the best podcasts that you do, and like where you just don't even realize the things that are coming out, you know, and it just happens so naturally.
100%.
Yeah, like the best shots you hit, you don't remember all four swing thoughts that you had, you know, throughout the process.
I even think too, even like from a podcast standpoint, when, you know, I'll prep a lot for a lot of these, have the questions. Some of the best content you're going to get are the ones of the shit that you didn't even prep. It just so happens to flow. Same thing with golf.
That being said, this is a pre-prep question. I'd love to delve a little bit deeper into your relationship with Bubba Watson. You know, it's obviously like, or people who follow you, it's kind of the thing that I don't put you like really on the map, but like it was your stuff at Riviera was like, oh, that's how, at least how I found out about you, the notorious Not Today Bub. For sure. And so recently I saw on your Instagram that you reached out to him and he responded. I assume that he runs his own Instagram, so it seemed like it was him.
It was absolutely him, but he sent me to his manager to get it set up.
Oh, real Bubba move.
What's your Bubba move?
That's a very
really
Bubba
come
move.
On, it's a podcast. Just say yes.
Yes or no. What day you wanted it. No, he sent me to the manager. But, you know, I tipped the cap for him at least responding to it.
Yeah. You know he's going to try to charge you for the podcast.
Sure. Oh, that's why it's coming to the manager. It's funny. A couple people said that in the comments. They're like, all right, here comes the price.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a wild move in my opinion. But, you know, he's a professional golfer. He's not in the world of podcasting. So
There we go.
I did recently, I don't ever listen to Foreplay, you know, but when they have somebody on like Bubba Watson, I actually thought of you. And I was like, oh, I got to listen to, you know, and see what the motivation is behind the chirp. And it turns out he's like, I mean, listen, anybody can make themselves sound good on a podcast. Totally. That's like something I've learned. Like I've heard people that like I've got me too the next week. They sound great on a podcast.
Yes, always, always.
So, but that being said, I don't know, he seemed like he opened up a little bit about his own like mental process and like how much he is in his own head about, you know, has his own anxiety. And that was a bit humbling on him. I appreciated that. But I don't actually really – I never attached on to, like, why it was so easy to chirp at that guy. And what was it for you that you attached on to before you went out there?
Well, you know what's funny? So I've only really been in the golf for 2-3 years. So mm-hmm. when my buddy took me to this Riviera tournament, he told me – I mean, we were drinking so much. We were having a good time. He told me if there's anybody that you're going to be able to chirp, that you're going to be able to get into his head, it's going to be Bubba Watson. And, of course, you go on there and – You want to kind of find a fine line to just not being obnoxious and, you know, to where it's okay. So I thought I did a really good job. I think the video why it does so well is I was able to walk that line while still really pissing him off. Because it was at the point where if he kicked me out, it would have been like, oh, that was a scumbag move. You know, mm-hmm. the people are having a good time. But it's, you know, it's tricky just walking that line. But I knew as soon as I started going at Bubba that I'd be able to get into his head. So he just walked in between like 2 or 3. And it was the famous line, I'm right next to him. The thing about these golf tournaments, you could get right next to the guys. It's not like a baseball game.
Yep.
Or like you could get them walking across. You'll be right next
to
them.
You pay the regular fee and you get the closer than anybody.
By far.
Yeah,
by far.
VIP tickets and you can pat them on the back.
Oh, that's what makes it so fun about going to these. So I was just having a ball. So I did the not today, Bubba. And then we just started following him. So every fucking hole, and then we just kept it going. So that's kind of how it all started.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said this on, like, we recorded a podcast together when I used to do Country Club with Jason.
Yeah.
But you figured out the game of chirping at people, but in a way that I haven't seen before, where it's just, like, undeniably lovable. And it's so that's not so tough of a thing to do. Like, I get so much heat whenever I chirp at somebody. It's like it's usually justified in my own head, or my intention is for like a bigger thing,
right?
Because like somebody gyps their caddy or something like that. But like, but yeah, you do it in a way that it's just like, yeah,
you got to be able
gift.
To walk that line. And then if you could get the crowd in with you to where the crowd's enjoying it, it makes it so much harder for people to. You know, you get the old school country club guys that get upset. It's like it makes it harder for them to get upset when you have these people that are just
right.
fucking loving it, and the atmosphere is getting better.
If you crack that joke and everyone laughs, like last year, I mean, there's the classic with Brooks. Everyone said, "How much you bench?" I can't remember, but there were a couple like funny ones. Like someone yelled at Brooks, or he was like, "He's got a toilet on him," and everyone laughed. Everyone laughed, and even the old asshole guys have to be quiet, or they're laughing with us.
Yeah, see, to me, it's like the chirping that I don't like is the ones that we've all heard, like the Baba Booey or.
Oh right, yeah.
There's a couple of them. Those to me, it's like there's nothing original about it. That
right, you just
want
to be heard. It's like a heckle almost.
Yeah. But like that one you were saying with Brooks, like that's funny as shit. If I was there, I'd be laughing.
Yeah, telling saying Brooks has a toilet on him is pretty funny.
It's fucking hilarious. It's great. Everyone laughed. You know? Yeah, and Kepka's like, "What's he gonna do? What's he gonna kick you out for that?" It's like it's great.
It's funny sitting there on that tee box that's packed, like because you're all waiting. Like it's like a game. It's a sport. Like, because, like, 5 or 6 guys will try, and occasionally there's a good one, like, they're skilled at that.
You're right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
Tiger
has heard a billion different ones. If you can be original with Tiger, you know.
Yeah, it's not many people that can make Tiger laugh on the golf course.
Patrick Reed's a fun one to do, because he doesn't take any of it very well.
No. See, he's a very easy target. You know who's probably, I think, just the best with the fans? Maybe too much because he can never close, and I think because of it. Tony Finau.
Oh,
is one of the
we got to talk
guys.
About him.
He's like the nicest guy.
Because he's Mormon. That's why he's so nice.
Is he?
It's true.
It's
literally
it.
Why he's so
I
nice.
It.
Wow.
Yeah,
Mormon's
it.
The nicest people on the planet.
Mormon golfer. It's not something you see every
day.
You know what's amazing, too? Like, he interacts with you, and then it does kind of make you think, like, if he wasn't so nice, he'd probably be able to close a couple of these tournaments.
Like, focus, buddy.
Yeah.
Give the guy some fucking Adderall.
Yeah.
Tony, finish a round. Jesus.
If he's, you got a new, he's not doing Adderall.
You got a new caddy and you can't close it, Tony.
Yeah.
He's already made $15 million on tour. He didn't care.
He finishes top 10 every single tournament.
Yeah, and he gives most of it away, too.
Oh, like the caddies and shit?
Do you know he gives it away to, like, charities?
Yeah, he's as good as it gets, man.
He's
awesome.
Just too, he's too pure.
How about all of a sudden this year he's just like, yo, I'm going to hit it farther. So I'm going to take my swing back a little bit more. I'm going to have another gear, and I'm going to be the fastest swing speed on tour.
I saw him do that. I saw him do that with in a video. 206 mile an hour ball speed. He took it all the way back.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I want to see the guy win so fucking bad.
Yeah, it's inevitable. It'll happen.
I really do. He deserves it, and he just can't get it done.
Because he's too nice.
He's too nice.
He's praying. He needs to stop listening to Joseph Smith and go out there and get greedy.
He's right. Yeah, he's right. It's 100% true.
Huh. So do you have any, like, have you thought of any, like, the ultimate question you want to ask Bubba if you do get him on the pod, or is that not something you've thought about too much yet?
Well, you know what I've been thinking about a lot, because I would have, obviously, like, with my fans, it's this long time thing with Bubba, and I wouldn't let them down to where I would be hard on him.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be hard, too, in the sense of if he does come on, which it looks like he may, I would have so much respect for him for coming on. I mean, how could you not? He knows that, you know, the crowd, and if he knows who I am, it's like, why would he go on? So if he does, I got to tip my cap to him. But then at the same time, I can't back down. I would still have to be, you know, harsh in some regard.
Yeah, you should ask him a question, and then when he begins to talk, just be like, not today, bub.
Yeah, just cut him off. Yeah. No, I mean, I'd be curious to know, like, the shit that if he hears me, if he remembers me from Riviera. So I would actually be very curious to know that, but it would be interesting for sure.
Right. You never get that perspective of, like, the guy who, like, actually got chirped at, you know, and, like, you know, to hear his take, which only the players probably get to in the locker room and, you know, at the meals after and stuff. So, yeah, that'd be great, man.
Be awesome. Well, I tell you, if you get into one of these tournaments, you're going to have all the access in the world.
Mm.
I mean, it's literally just going to be you and these golfers if you're able to get into these. You should just have a field day.
Yeah, dude, I really, I mean, not this is what I like the reason why I'm going, but to get Bryson DeChambeau to shotgun a protein shake with me.
Oh,
God, yes.
That would be all time.
Yeah, I could do it.
He would turn this RV into a yacht real fast. Jake would be fucking loaded. You go crazy viral if you do that.
Yeah. All right. So let's close this bad boy out by going to some golf news. What's going on in the world of golf? As you guys know, golf as a whole has a rich tradition. And by that, I mean pretty racist. But luckily, we're starting to right that ship a little bit. The PGA committee has just taken down a Horton Smith statue at their course in Detroit where they do the tournament. I don't know if you know who Horton Smith is. He used to be the commissioner of the PGA Tour. But from 1934 to 1961, he had the PGA of America had a whites-only clause, which meaning you couldn't be a member.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, yeah, they just took that dude's statue down.
It was Augusta until, like, the 90s.
Yeah, Augusta was a late one to turn over.
Yeah,
there's,
I believe that.
I mean, there, you know, it's not as much racial here now in L.A. as there is. There's still courses lakeside that you...
I'm not going to say I'm on the lakeside.
You can't be a member if you're a woman unless you're a spouse. And that's 2020 in Los Angeles, the liberal bubble of the world.
Isn't there a Jewish-only club here?
That would be Hillcrest, but I'd like to say we started that because we couldn't get into the other clubs.
Well, of course.
Like Los Angeles Country Club, which you can't be a member if you're in entertainment.
Industry. That's
we all know what that
absurd.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
How
no
can they verify?
There.
What
no
if we...
Finances.
How could we... Could we... How can you say you're not an entertainer? How do they verify?
I mean, I can't run from this schnoz, so there's no chance of being able to pay those dues there.
I tell you, though, there is, like, some country club things where it's like, you know, we've played a couple really nice courses. Like, a fan took me out to Sherwood the other day, which is a course I got no business playing.
Of course,
you do. No course is too good for you, Robbie.
It's fucking immaculate.
You know, no course is too good for you, not even Augusta.
I'm going to go play it again tomorrow, then.
Do it.
If that's the case, I'm going to call this guy. But there is, like, there is some...
He's a member at Sherwood, or...?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was fucking... Oh, man. It was top-notch. Caitlyn Jenner was on the course.
Oh?
Which was
where is
how's
this?
That swing looking?
Really fucking...
Where's Sherwood?
Pure.
Really?
Fucking
an athlete.
Pure athlete.
To be expected.
Caddy. It was the first time
what
I had a
caddy. What tees she play? I'm joking. Sorry.
She plays ladies' tees. I got no problem.
No shit?
Yeah. She does. She's on the fairway, fucking
Come on.
Grooves a ball.
Caitlin Jenner's playing the red tees.
Yeah. Oh, this is a slippery slope.
Yeah. Very
I don't agree with that. Now we're getting, yeah. This is what the podcast is about. I don't think Caitlin Jenner should play from the women's tees. How many people are going to piss off with
when
that?
When you're in an RV in Los Angeles, you know, you really get that.
Yeah, anything goes,
right? That's actually interesting. That's.
I'll give her a comment. She was on the fairway and fucking grooved a ball. Like, absolute pure fucking. Look, she's an athlete.
Who's she playing with?
I don't know. As far as I'm concerned,
guys
it
or
was
girls?
Only her. I don't know. I think
the Wachowski
I really
sisters.
Think her. But the problem is
the Wachowski sisters.
I don't know. Who
yeah,
the Matrix.
Oh.
They created the Matrix.
Okay.
We just didn't want her to catch up to us and
yeah,
play
it's quick.
Because you gotta let her play through, but at the same time, you don't want to be the guys playing slow. But she plays fast.
Yeah, I mean, Olympic runner.
Yeah, I tell you, we're trying to just walk the line here. It's not an easy
yeah.
line to walk. Around.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean, she was a phenomenal decathlete. She was a phenomenal dick athlete. Sorry, I had to. Sorry.
The
it was right there.
For the post on golfers is, I'd love to see the comment section here of what tees should you play?
Yeah.
Honest. I mean, you know, it's just like I'm certainly not the person to ever be the. I'm just going to defend myself in the next sentence. You get it. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know.
Well,
look, I wouldn't play. LPGA players should not play from the women's tees. Fuck
yeah,
that.
No,
they don't. They
hell no.
The
yeah.
ringer, 100%.
Should they play from the tips with you if you're playing, if you're a PGA player?
Yeah, I mean, they would, and they'd still beat us, you know? Yeah.
Like, no, they not us.
Oh,
but
like,
you know what
like
I mean?
When Michelle Wheaton and Monica
if
PGA Tour events.
A normal LPGA player played with fucking Bryson DeChambeau, do they tee off from the same tees?
Yeah. I do think there should be a tournament where it's properly teed out, but it's the same amount of, you know, purse for men and women, and they compete against each other. There's no reason in golf that men and women should not be able to play against each other if it's, like, slightly... women play for a slightly up tee, but that's fine. You still have to hit the putt. You still have to make the shots.
Right.
But like, yeah, if you know, if you're driving at 280 versus Bryson, who's driving at 410, then yeah, it's just like you shouldn't play the same tee.
423 a couple weeks ago.
Blues.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I'd actually love to. They used to do that back in the day. I think like Shell had a tournament where it was like men versus women. But yeah, I'd love to. That'd be dope to see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the country of Korea versus the PGA Tour.
All right, Hank Haney. Do you guys remember that chirp from Hank Haney when, like, it was last year, and Hank Haney was, like, it was wild. He, like, I don't know if he follows the LPGA or, like, he's, like, somewhat aware of it, but he was just like, yeah, I don't know who's going to win next week, but it's probably somebody with the last name M. That shit was wild. But yeah.
They, like, half the players on the LPGA Tour are from South Korea. It's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They dominate that sport.
Yeah.
So much talent.
But so, okay, I would just like to touch back on the Sherwood, and then we'll close it out. So you posted, you had this, like, a really funny blog you put out there with the caddy that you randomly got paired up with.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Your boy Reese.
He was awesome.
So let me ask you this. Like, what, I don't know if it was your first time taking a caddy, but, like, what do you look for, ideally, in a caddy?
Honestly, it's just like somebody that I'm playing around in. You want somebody that's going to give you a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Reese was from the get-go. I mean, he was drinking with us. I offered a drink. He accepted, which was awesome. And, like, just was a great fucking time. And it was the first time I've ever had a caddy. It totally changes the experience. And it's like playing with guys that if you get matched up with somebody good, it totally changes your experience having somebody good. If you get a caddy that sucks personality-wise, it's going to affect the round a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he was a fucking electric factory. He was hilarious. We do a lot of content out there, too, and he was so open to having the camera in his face.
Yeah.
And shit like that. So it changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed like a lot of fun, man. I mean, there's not a great odds you'll get a kid like Reese, you know?
No, no. Yeah. And the followers were fucking loving him. I mean, there was a couple things that I couldn't post because he didn't want to get him back to the country club.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, he was letting it rip. Like, it was hilarious. He was letting
Well, hold on to that footage so once he stops being
yeah,
a caddy,
I will.
You know?
I will. As soon as he's done his last day there.
Blackmail.
I'll send it out for him. No, he wants it out. He wants it out there.
All right, so last thing, maybe we can touch on Bryson a little bit, but I did want to get into There was a thing in Memphis, Tennessee, July 27th.
That's this week. FedEx, St. Jude's.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. Was this July 26th? What's the date right now?
That's Thursday through Sunday this week.
No, but why is it? I don't know. This news says July 26th, but isn't today like the 28th? I don't know.
Well, they go through this week, but it starts Thursday.
All right. I'm probably going to cut out that part of me mumbling through the date. Of not knowing where we are. But yes.
Is it 2019? What is it?
They're playing.
Oh, that's a senior tour.
The
shit.
The Masters is this week.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it's this week, right? Oh, no, it's a senior tour.
Man, if fans aren't back by the Masters, I'm going to lose my cool. I need to go.
I know. Would they let you go?
What?
If say, the Masters allowed
to. Dude, all those bigger tournaments is the easiest events to get media passes to.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. All the majors, those are the ones I had lined up. But, yeah.
Because they're not PGA events.
Yeah.
They count as PGA wins, but they're not put on by the PGA
right.
Tour.
Like the U.S.
That's
Open,
why.
Anybody
oh,
like a media pass.
I didn't even know that.
The PGA is, which is the one of the four majors. U.S. Open is USGA. Augusta is put on by Augusta. British, the Royal and Ancient.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
So, yeah, that's why.
I didn't even know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, PGA is so tight, man. It's wild.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So in Memphis, Tennessee, July 26th, this happened. So apparently, like, a bunch of parents just dropped off 300 plus kids at a putt-putt place. And then for whatever reason, somebody lit off a firework and then they just started to like rage and they just absolutely trashed this place. You know. No golf etiquette at all.
Clearly. Pace of play. Really
wow.
Been at a premium.
So, tell you what, a lot of lost balls there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a mental game. golf doesn't go your way. But, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, just two things I want to talk about from this incident. It's like, what's the most rage you've ever had on a golf course? And also, why do you feel like putt-putt is not – you don't have to be good at golf to be good at putt-putt. That's my opinion. It could not be yours, but – yeah. Take it away or just silence and then we'll end the podcast.
Well,
which
you
is
know
also
what I was
going
to think with putt-putt? I've never been back onto a putt-putt since I started playing golf and really getting into it. So I'd be curious to see if I would be better. I don't think that I would be.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like you. If you're like less than like a 15 handicap, there's no better range there from like being good at putt-putt. You know, like it's the same game. You know, like
I should start playing putt putt more than I'm playing actual golf.
Dude, that shit was on ESPN for a while. The championships,
yeah. I mean, those guys, that's like different level. Like those guys are wild.
Yeah, no, yeah, they was on. Yeah, had it on ESPN.
They didn't miss.
You go to YouTube.
I feel like I would love that.
Go to YouTube. It's like it's serious. It's like cornhole, man. There's some pros.
The outfits are somehow worse than regular golf.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, that would be right up my alley. That really would.
Yeah. Yeah, you should commentate over some putt-putt.
Yeah. No, I can make a killing doing that.
Dude.
Nah, rage on the course. I mean, I really don't get too upset on the course. I've definitely flung a couple clubs in my day. So maybe I should take that back. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Got kicked out of Sherwood yesterday. Yeah. Never mind.
Here at Rancho, we played 36, and it almost felt like I don't think I had a single good tee shot out of 36 holes. So that was a rough day, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you could top me now, Griff.
I mean, Griff's got that Irish blood. You know, he's torn a couple of clubs apart.
Oh, man. If club tossing was an Olympic sport, gold medalist right here. Dude, high school golf, I got so mad one time. I chunked a shot. Six iron, 190 yards. I don't even know how my arm. It was just like shot put, disc, perfect form. And, of course, my golf coach was right there watching. I didn't know he was there. And he was like, you do that again, you're off this golf team, young man. I was like, oh. But, no, and since then, I've only snapped about five clubs. So, yeah.
Okay, see, that's not too bad. Yeah. I had the over-under for you at 7.5.
One time I got so mad. Do you get so mad that you, like, you hit your boiling point, and then your body calms down because it just can't get any angrier. I handed a friend a club. I said, snap that for me. I couldn't. I can't even think right now. I'm so angry. I don't even. Here, snap this club for me. And he had a blast doing it. One time, wasn't too long ago, we found a piece of shit old Nike club, like, hidden by a bush somewhere at Brookside. And I was like, instead of turning it back into the clubhouse, I'm putting that in my bag. And I was like, I told everyone in the group, I was like, all right, this is a designated club for whenever you just want to have a fucking rage, you can snap this club.
Man, that's brilliant, actually. Yeah.
Made it to the end of the round. Snapped on 18. One of the guys snapped it on 18.
Yeah. If people keep lefty clubs in their bag for just in case, it's way more beneficial.
We should go. Just go on eBay or just go to like a garage sale or Craigslist and find a crappy club just to snap. Just to have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a stress ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like that. I really do. I really like that.
Man, well, thank you guys so much for, you know, hanging out in my mobile home.
Anytime.
Jake, my trailer park.
Anytime.
My Beverly. We'll come to your Beverly Hills trailer park anytime.
It was great. I slept next to the ocean last night.
This was fucking neat. Yeah. This really was. This was cool.
But, yeah, please, if you're listening, follow these guys on Instagram. It's at Brilliantly Dumb, right?
Yep.
You know them. You love them. And at Griff Pippin.
Yep.
Is it? And, yeah, both are, you know, making golf content out there and, you know, really funny guys. So, yeah, follow them. And also, obviously, follow Golfers Doing Things. If you're listening to this podcast and you don't follow Golfers Doing Things, how?
That's upsetting if you don't.
You guys are killing it. You really are. You guys are good to me, too, which I appreciate.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, also, like, how did you find the podcast? If you're listening to this, did you just search, like you need to know, like, how, like, you like golfers, I just need them to be doing something, and that's what you search? Like, you must have gone through this page. So, yeah, thanks for subscribing to Golfers
Anytime,
Doing Things.
Brother, you know
and,
that.
Yeah, guys, thanks for doing the podcast.
As always, appreciate it for having us.
Woo! Thank you.